so tonight, I want to talk about all the ways that this has literally, and I'm not using this word lightly, revolutionized what it means to be a teenager on planet Earth. And see, I think you guys are used to it. You guys are natives. You've grown up here. And I don't think you understand, but the way you're experiencing the world, although it might not seem like a big deal to you, it is so vastly and dramatically different, not just than my experience, but the way you're experiencing life is different than anyone has ever experienced life in the history of humanity. And that is not an overstatement, guys. Even if you don't have a smartphone, you live in a world filled with smartphones, and you have more information than any teenager in human history has ever had. You have more options. You have more, these options and this information gives you power. You are more powerful teenagers than the world has ever seen. You have more ways to connect and keep up with others. You have more monitoring. You have more people looking in on you and watching over you. You have way more temptations. You have way more expectations that are on you because of this power. And you have way more pressure in your life. You know, the iPhone's only been around for 10 years. The first one was released in 2007. And researchers are trying to follow, like, okay, what is this powerful, you know, technology? What does this do to the human experience? And they're already finding out. And you guys can know it by looking down the aisles and looking down the halls in your school. Studies are showing the rates of depression in teenagers are skyrocketing. The rates of suicide skyrocketing, suicidal thoughts and tendencies skyrocketing. When students are surveyed over the years, every year that goes on, students are saying they're less and less happy and satisfied with their lives. It's a weird impact, and we don't know that it's caused by this, but there's certainly a correlation. And you guys are in this totally new world, and you're pioneers, and here's the thing. Being a teenager is so hard today, and you're really having to do it largely alone. Because none of us adults who have gone before you, none of us have experienced what it's like to be a teenager with something like this in your life. And it's really hard. And so, like, I'm a youth pastor. It's my job to guide you through life and to help you and do all that. But here's the thing. How can I do that if I haven't experienced what you're experiencing? If I can't relate to, you know, what you're going through with this in your life? And you don't even realize it's this in your life. This is just a part of your life. But I'm telling you, this has made a big difference in your life. And you don't even, I don't think you even understand the weight of it. So how can I help you, though? How can I guide you? I can't offer you my experience, but here's what I am going to offer you tonight. I'm going to guide you from God's word. I think this old book that I have sitting here, this ancient text that's been around for thousands of years, I think it has tons of truth that applies directly and relevantly to our modern world. And so I've searched through this thing, and here's what I've come up with is 10 things I think will really help you navigate life as a teenager in a world that's full of these. Okay, so here's the title. If you're taking notes, this is when the message officially starts. Write this down. The title of tonight's message is The Top 10 Must-Have Apps for Christian Teenagers. And let me define some terms before we get into the top 10 list. But usually our messages are like 3 or 4 points. I'm giving you 10, so we are going to go fast now. But I'm going to give you some helpful stuff. But let me help you understand what this title means, Top 10 Apps. I'm not telling you these are 10 things you need to download. Apps are not, for our purposes tonight, pieces of software that go on a device or a phone. Here's what an app is. We'll put the definition up. An app is an application of God's word, putting God's word into practice. The action of putting something into operation, the practical use or relevance of something. So I'm going to show you 10 ways you can put the Bible in action when it comes to life with a phone. I'm going to show you 10 practical uses, not for your phone, 10 practical uses for God's word that will inform and guide and direct and assist you in navigating life with your phone. And the other term I need to define is Christian. These are the top 10 must-have apps for Christian teenagers. Now, I hope, I really do, and this is going to sound weird, I hope there's a lot of people in this room when we have Shoreline that are not Christians, that wouldn't say you are a Christian, because I hope you're here to learn more about Christianity and discover more about what Christians believe and how we act and who we are. So I hope you're here, but I want you to know if that's you and you're in this room, we're really glad you're here. But the message tonight is for people who have said they're a Christian. And here's how we'll define a Christian tonight. There's a lot of different ways to do it. But a Christian is any person who wholeheartedly believes and embraces the message of the Bible, which is found really succinctly in Romans 6:23, which says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Christ Jesus our Lord. See, a Christian is someone that understands they're not God. They're a sinner. They've fallen short of who God is. And they realize that that falling short, the result of that is death. It's separation from God, and it's a hopeless way of life. And there's no hope for eternity. See, a Christian is someone who's thought about not just this life, but the afterlife, and they've realized, man, if there is a perfect God out there, I am not good enough to be with him. They've acknowledged their own sin and their desperate position before a holy and perfect God. But then they've learned that this God has offered them a free gift. They've learned what Christmas is all about, that God came to the earth in the form of a baby and he lived as a man a perfect life, and then he offered his body as a sacrifice to take the debt that we deserve, to pay the penalty for our sin. A Christian is somebody that believes this and wholeheartedly embraces this and embraces the life that Jesus offers, not just for eternity, but for today. Eternal life, not just in quantity, but in quality, an abundant life. A Christian is somebody that said, I believe the way of life is found in God's word, and I believe it, and I want to embrace it, and I want to follow it. This message is for you. I'm going to give you truth that you're hungry for and that you already want, and it's going to be applicable to your life. And if you're not a Christian, I want you to learn what Christians believe, and I think some of this stuff is going to be helpful and applicable to you too. So guys, buckle up. We're going to go fast. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you the application that I found in Scripture. I'm going to explain it, and then I'm going to show you where in the Bible I pulled that out of, all right? And I'm going to explain it and give you time to write it down. I think writing things down will really help you remember them as I explain it. And here's what I want to ask you to do. I want to ask you to look for, and to really right now, just quietly in your own heart and mind, pray and ask God to help you have one or two of these stand out that you really need to hear, because 10 is a lot to take in. And so just right now, like in your own mind, just be like, Lord, would you show me what I need to hear tonight? Because I believe God's got something for each and every one of you. He wants to meet with each and every one of you individually tonight. Okay, here we go. Top 10 must-have apps for Christian teenagers. Here we go. Number 10, a Christian teenager seeks to be transformed by God, not conformed to this world. As I'm preparing for this, guys, I am so convicted as I'm thinking through just my own interactions with this thing, with this device, at how easily I just really mindlessly and passively conform to the pattern of this world. And I expect other people to do that. An example is, I have been giving Jermaine Harrison, who was, spoiler alert, Jamaican Santa earlier, I've been giving him the hardest time because he hasn't even, I mean, you're not gonna believe this, he hasn't even seen Stranger Things season one. I know, right? Let alone season two. And I'm like, Jermaine, don't you know that you're a human alive in 2017 and you should conform to the pattern of this world and do what everyone else is doing? But a Christian actually seeks to be transformed by God far more than they seek to be conformed to this world. This comes directly from Romans 12:2, which says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. That's the most important thing to you, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Number 9, a Christian teenager strives to become a humble and caring person in real life, not a self-obsessed, impressive to others person online. Man, another thing that was convicting for me, and I know it is for all of you, this thing has this power to tempt us to control the way we represent ourselves and the way we present our lives to the rest of the world in a way that makes them see what we want them to see. And it's not always what's real. But we have to admit that this has drawn us in to wanting to present a life online or on a screen that is impressive to other people. And for me, that tempts me towards obsession with myself and obsession with what other people think about me. But a Christian is not that kind of person. A Christian is somebody that is striving to be a humble person and that cares about others in real life, not some fake representation that you're trying to get out there to impress other people. Philippians 2:3-4 says, don't be selfish. Don't try so hard, guys, to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. And don't look only to your own interests, but take an interest in others too. And this makes it really hard for me to take an interest in others. I'm always thinking about myself. Number 8, a Christian teenager is more concerned with serving Christ than winning the approval of people. Now, this sounds similar to number 9, but let me explain how I think this one's a little bit different. I think sometimes with our phones, we seek the approval of people by staying silent when we should speak up. There's a number of issues where if we're a Christian, God's word is very clear on, and we should, when there's a dialogue going on or there's a debate or an opportunity to represent God and to proclaim truth, man, this is an incredible opportunity for us to do that. We have an incredible platform and an audience to point people towards Christ, and I think there are definitely seasons in our world where Christianity just isn't really the most popular thing. And so because we're concerned about what other people will think, if people will be upset or mad at us, a lot of times we stay silent because we're more worried about the approval of people than serving Christ. And so look at what the scriptures have to say on this one. Galatians 1:10 says, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people was my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Number 7, a Christian teenager is content. Content with the life God has given them and actively fights the temptation to compare and covet. Don't we all have that friend that every time it's Thanksgiving break or Christmas break or spring break or just a long weekend of some sort is like at the beach? And they've got a beach house, they've got a lake house, they somehow are in Europe whenever they want to be, and they post all their pictures and they just make you feel like your life is terrible. We all have that friend, right? They're not doing it on purpose, but they just make you wish you were them all the time. And sometimes when I get on that road and I go down that path where I'm comparing my life to other people's lives, and maybe it's not destinations, maybe it's the way they look, maybe it's the things they have, maybe it's the people that they're with. But when we compare ourselves to others and we covet, we desire, and we long for what they have, it poisons our hearts. But a Christian is somebody that is content with what God has given them, and they fight that temptation to compare their lives to others and to covet what others have. 1 Timothy 6:6-9 says this, true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. But people who long to be rich and have what other people have fall into temptation, and they're trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destructions. It poisons your life from the inside out. Number 6, a Christian teenager is sensitive to the signs of addiction and refuses to become overly attached to their phone. How many of you guys see these BuzzFeeds that come out every now and then constantly? Has anybody ever seen a BuzzFeed list? But you think, where are you in the world? Thank you. So I came across this the other day. I wanna share with you some of them. It's a list called... the 23 signs you're addicted to your smartphone. And then underneath the title, it says, uh-oh, quote, everyone. And so I'm not gonna give you all 23 because that would take too long and some of them are inappropriate. Thank you, BuzzFeed. But I'm gonna pull some of these out. So here's one of them. You get slightly panicky when your phone is out of your line of sight. Is that on the screen? Do we have these? Number 1, you get slightly panicky when your phone's, and here's a picture of that. It's called a GIF, not a GIF. Look it up. It's a GIF. Right? Thank you. Can we all agree? All right. You get slightly panicky when your phone is out of sight. Number 2, you get ridiculously panicked when you accidentally leave it at home. It's like you're missing a limb. And here was the picture they had with that one. You sleep with your phone on your nightstand, or worse, in your bed next to you. You look like this guy. Number 9 was at least once a week you freak out that you can't find your phone and then you realize it's in your hand. Number 10 was turning your phone off during a flight gives you horrendous FOMO, which is fear of missing out. But it also makes you excited because you know when you turn it on, you'll have tons of notifications to go through. 14, sometimes you see an Instagram go up right away, but you wait 30 minutes to like it because you don't want to seem lame. Number 17, you try not to do this at concerts, but you do it anyway. And let's just pause and talk about this. For everyone in this room, can we all agree, like, we should not film concerts? Can we please? Like, let's positively peer pressure each other now and groan Like, should we agree? Do not film concerts. What is your problem, people? You should be more on board with this. Filming concerts is the stupidest thing you could do with your life. And if I'm insulting you, I mean to do that right now, okay? When you film a concert, it doesn't capture the audio quality. You don't have any of the feeling and the emotion of it. The lighting all just kind of like blurs out. And what are you gonna go back home and then relook at that later and be like, oh yeah, I was having so much fun. If you do that, your life is terrible. Don't do that. Pet a cat. Go for a walk. Eat a sandwich. Don't rewatch a concert. Be in the moment. Enjoy the moment. Capture a memory in your brain and then keep it there and just soak it all in and be free for like 2 hours and enjoy the music and move around, like just dance. And that's how I dance at concerts. But don't film it. Don't. I'm begging you. And then I'm shaming you if you do. Okay, let's keep going. That was just a side note here. You feel kind of dejected when you sneak peek at your phone after a long dinner or meeting and you realize you have no new notifications. And that's how you act when you're frustrated. Number 20, the idea of having to leave your phone in the store for repairs makes you ill. I was at the Apple store the other day and this lady, the guy goes, you need to leave it here for about 3 hours. And this lady freaked out. She was like, I can't leave my phone for 3 hours. He's like, oh, I'm sorry, ma'am, what do you have to do? She's like, I have to go to the doctor. He's like, why do you need your phone at the doctor? She's like, I need my phone all the time. And so she took the repair guy with her. No, she didn't do that. But she was freaking out. And then that list ends. It says, if you identify with any of this, welcome to the smartphone addiction club population, everyone. And so we kind of like, and then that was the last one they had. So we can kind of like giggle about that, like, ha, 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 we're all addicted to our phones. But a Christian maybe stops and thinks about that. A Christian teenager is sensitive to the signs of addiction. It's a real thing. Like, they're diagnosing cell phone addiction. They're diagnosing a thing called nomophobia, which is fear of being separated from your phone. And people are seeing psychiatrists for this as a disease. The world's changing and it's rough. And so a Christian recognizes, man, there's signs of addiction that may be popping up in my life, and I'm not gonna let anything master me. I'm not gonna be overly attached to anything. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says this, you say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. Young Christians, young people, don't become a slave to this device. Don't become that kind of person where every time there's a lull in conversation or somebody walks away, the first thing you have to do is look at your phone. Don't be the kind of person that freaks out if you accidentally leave your phone somewhere. Like, don't be overly attached to this. God is your master. He's all you need. You don't need to be mastered by a small piece of glass and metal and plastic. Number 5, a Christian teenager refuses to let their phone distract them from doing the hard work that God has called them to do. There's a study out right now, University of California, San Diego. They took like 500 college students and they created 2 tests. One was a problem-solving test, one was a memory test. And they wanted to see how well people perform on these same tests by dividing them into 3 different groups. One group took these 2 tests with their phones sitting on their desk. A second group took these 2 tests with their phone in their pocket or their purse. A third group took the same 2 tests with their phone in a basket outside the door, out of the room. And here's what's crazy, 500 students. Without fail, all the students that had their phone on their desk did worse on the memory and they did worse on the problem-solving test because it was a distraction. Just even being there, just its presence was a distraction. Then the second worst performers were the people that had it in their pocket or in their bag, but the people whose phones were out of the room, they did better on both tests, hands down. Isn't that a crazy study that they did? And then just another story, I was talking to a parent of one of you this week, and he said, yeah, my son was having a terrible time with homework up past midnight every night. It was taking forever. And so we just did a little experiment. We said, hey, let's try doing your homework with your phone in the other room. And he said it was crazy. Within a week, it was obvious. Homework time cut in half just because the phone was in the other room. You see, distracted work, when you're distracted, that equals lazy work. You don't do good work and it takes you longer. You don't do good work and it takes you longer. And God has work for you to do. Did you know this, Christian teenagers? I can tell you God's will for your life. God's will for your life is to be a student. He's called you and he's placed you as a student, learning, doing homework, taking tests. That is your, it's not forever, but that's your role in life right now. And look what the scriptures have to say about this role. Proverbs 13:4. Lazy people want much but get little, but those who work hard will prosper. Romans 12:11 says, never be lazy but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. You see, working hard on the work God has given you is serving the Lord. And if you realize that you work harder with your phone in the other room, young people, let's put our phones in the other room. Number four, a Christian teenager seeks joy and encouragement beyond screens by prioritizing face-to-face interactions with other Christians. You know, my small group guys graduated in 2016 and they're all at all these different colleges and we stay in touch, we talk on the phone, we text, we joke around, but there's nothing like what happened this last Saturday when we spent 2.5 hours at Norma's with our phones put away, just talking to each other, making eye contact, listening to the tone of each other's voices, experiencing, you know, what one another's been through just by having good conversation. And I found this verse as I was preparing for this message, and I think this is my favorite one I'm going to share tonight, and maybe the most impactful one for some of you. Look at what 2 John 1:12 says. I've never taught from 2 John before, but Paul says, or John says this as he's writing. He says, I have much more to say to you, but I don't want to do it with paper and ink. That was the technology and the phone of his day. For I hope to visit you soon and talk with you face to face. And then look at how he ends this. Then our joy will be complete. You see, a Christian understands that God has made us to be in relationships with one another, real relationships, not virtual relationships, real friendships with one another. And a Christian realizes, man, my joy is complete when I'm face to face with another human being that God created. Did you know that even when you FaceTime and you're face to face, it is impossible. Have you ever thought about this? It's impossible to make eye contact. Because if you look at the camera, then it looks like you're looking at them and they can look at you looking at them, but you're looking at a camera. You're not making eye, and then when they look at the camera to make eye contact with you, it looks like they're looking away. It's impossible to actually make eye contact, even FaceTime. It's impossible to have that sort of interaction. And so a Christian prioritizes. That's why we do small groups, guys, is we are trying to push you together every week, face-to-face, in a circle, interacting with one another, building relationships, because that is what God has created you for. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. We should never neglect meeting together. We should prioritize face-to-face interactions. Number three, a Christian teenager seeks to get rid of sin, not carry it around with them in their pocket, on their phone. Guys, a smartphone, a technology, this is not sin. This is not sinful. But you know what it is? It is a source of sin. It is a source of temptation. It is a pathway through which temptation and sin finds us. We've already talked about some of these. It tempts us towards pride. It tempts us towards approval addiction, for the approval of others. It tempts us to covet and compare our lives to what other people have and to feel worse about ourselves. It tempts us to consume media and worthless things. It tempts us to lust and to be sexually immoral in our thoughts and in our actions. And these are the things I want to key in on here with the scriptures. Ephesians 4:21 and 22 says, since you've heard about Jesus, have you heard about Jesus? Since you've heard about Jesus and you've learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature. Don't just put it on the second page of your phone and put it in your pocket. Throw it off. And your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Matthew 5:27-30 says, you've heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery. That means, you know, have sex with someone that's not your spouse. But I say anyone that even looks at another person, at a woman with lust, has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So if your eye, even your good eye, causes you to lust, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your hand, even your strong hand, causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. So here's the thing. Statistics will tell us, and you guys know this, like you live in this world, statistics say 93% of guys and 66% of girls view pornography on their devices. I think the number's probably higher because I don't think people are telling the truth. And so if you're a Christian, you should know pornography's wrong. I shouldn't look lustfully at another person. And so here's what I want to ask you. The way you have viewed pornography before, so maybe that was through a browser. Maybe that was through a messaging app of some sort. Maybe it was through Instagram or Twitter. Like, you can get there in a million different ways. Whatever way you've struggled with that, is that way still on your phone? Why? Why? A Christian teenager seeks to get rid of sin, not carry it around with them in their pocket. You guys know that it's okay to delete an app? Did you know it's okay to go in with a friend or a parent or somebody and set restrictions on your phone that don't allow you to download from the app store if that's causing you problems? Do you know it's okay to be a teenager in 2017 and not have an Instagram or a Twitter or Snapchat or Facebook or whatever's popular at your school or with your group of friends? Like, you can survive. Because if that's a gateway to sin, and if that is tempting you to sin, a Christian puts that away. A Christian cuts that off. A Christian doesn't carry that around with them in their pocket because they want to live a life that honors God and is free from sin, not bound to it, not a slave to it. Number two, a Christian teenager refuses to waste their life looking at worthless things and instead seeks an eternally rewarding life through God's word. A Christian teenager refuses to waste their life looking at worthless things. Guys, listen, I've watched Stranger Things, season one and season two. I've watched a lot of shows on Netflix and Hulu. But I have to admit, there are times when I watch two, three, maybe four episodes in a row, when I begin to ask myself, hold on, am I spending too much of my time? Am I wasting my time looking at worthless things? Like, we've got to at least ask ourselves that question. I know as a dad, I have to, because my kids are like tugging on me. Will you play catch with me? No! L is about to close the gate. And that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing at all. Psalm 119:37 is a very simple verse. It says this. The psalmist says, Lord, turn my eyes, this is a great prayer, from worthless things, and give me life through your word. So it's not enough just to say, well, I should stop binge watching stuff or looking at bad stuff on my phone, or I should block people that are sending me bad stuff or whatever it is. I don't want to look at worthless things. This passage tells us then to turn our eyes to God's word. I've had this sitting up here this whole time. These are legit books that I bought when I was your age. And here's what they are. This is my Life Application Study Bible. Because when I was your age, I was a Christian. And I wanted to know God, and I know the way to know God is through his word. And so I bought this Bible that has life application notes. And then that wasn't enough for me, so I bought another study Bible because somebody recommended it, called the MacArthur Study Bible by this guy, John MacArthur, and it has notes in it. And I wanted to study this. And then that wasn't enough for me, so I bought this thing called Matthew Henry's Commentary on the Whole Bible. So he's explaining things that I couldn't understand. And then I wanted to go even deeper, and I bought this thing called the New Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible. And what this does is this has every word in the Bible in the original language, Hebrew and Greek mostly, and then a definition of what that word actually meant at that time in the original language, because I wanted to understand and apply God's word to my life. Now, here's why I tell you all that. I'm not bragging like I'm some super Christian. I'm telling you all that because just these four books, you have them all in your pocket right now, and so much more. I used to send a letter to Denton Bible Church with money in it, asking them to send me tapes of Tommy Nelson preaching through the book of Romans and the book of Song of Solomon so I could learn from him. Guess what? I've got every sermon Tommy Nelson has ever preached in my pocket right now. I've got every Todd Wagner sermon, every Jonathan Pakluta sermon, every Matt Chandler sermon. I've got every great preacher who's been around and everything he's ever said in my pocket right now. You guys have such an incredible opportunity. Do you guys understand? This is not an anti-technology message. This is a, do you understand how much power you have and how much opportunity you have to know God more through this wonderful device that has been invented? And the last one, number one, a Christian teenager uses their phone as a tool to faithfully carry out the ministry God has given them. Young people, God has put you on this planet. He has saved you, but he hasn't taken you away to heaven. He has left you here because you have a purpose to live out. God has a mission for you. There's a purpose for your life, and it's a wonderful purpose. And this can be a tool to help you accomplish it. One more story about high school David. When I was in high school, I was in a small group, a lot like you guys. And we met on Wednesday nights. And here's what I would do every Tuesday night. I had a piece of computer paper that had every guy's name in my small group written on it, handwritten. And then it had their home phone numbers, because that's all we had written on it. And every Tuesday night, I would sit down, and sometimes it would take me an hour and a half to call all 15 of these guys. But I would call every single one of them, and I'd remind them, hey, we have small group tomorrow night. I'd tell them whose house it was at. I'd remind them what time it was. And I'd be like, hey, are you going to be there? I'd love to see you there. And it'd take me like an hour and a half, and I'd have to call, and then they'd be calling me back later. And, you know, I mean, it was just kind of a mess. But you guys realize you can do that in 5 seconds? Like, you just have like a group me or a group text, and you're just like, hey, guys, hope to see you tomorrow tonight. Like, that was my ministry. I realized God had a ministry for me, was to bring people to hear the word of God taught by somebody older than me and for us to grow in community together. And I had to work hard. It's easy for you. And you can do so much more. So I want to leave you with this one more passage, 2 Timothy chapter 4, 1 through 5. Timothy was a young man. Many believe he was a teenager when he was called to serve God. And Paul writes this to Timothy: I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom. So he says, Timothy, the stakes are high, so listen up. Preach the word of God, Timothy. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not, if it's popular or not, patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people. God has given you people in your life, and you encourage them with good teaching. Because a time is coming. See if this sounds like 2017. A time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires, and they will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But here's what you do, Timothy. You keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. And you work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. This is an incredible tool for ministry. You have an incredible audience, an incredible platform, an incredible opportunity to access resources and then share them with others. I just got to ask you tonight, are you using it, guys? Listen, we know it's hard being a teenager, and we believe in you. And we believe you guys, with this powerful tool and all the resources you have, you guys could change the world. And I think if you apply some of these things, the ones that hit you tonight, and you begin to really use this wisely, man, you guys could have an incredible impact on this planet. And so let me ask you as we close, which of these applications did you need to hear most tonight? I want you to think about it. And what can you do? I want to challenge you. What can you do tonight to apply that? Don't go out of here and forget it and be like, yeah, I'm going to do that tomorrow. Yeah, I'm going to do that next week. No, what can you do tonight to start to apply what God's word has said to you? Let me pray, and then we'll go out to the after party. Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to proclaim so much of your word tonight. I pray that your word is what people heard tonight and not David Peniel and some of the stupid stuff that I said. I pray that our lives would be changed and transformed by your word as we renew our minds thinking about what you have said and how it applies to our lives. I pray that you would protect us from the consequences of being conformed to the pattern of this world. Would you open our eyes to any dangers that are out there, any temptations that are out there, and help us to walk according to your ways. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. We got s'mores. We got hot.